study. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord, we come to you this evening, and it is our desire to worship you. We thank you that all throughout history, you have initiated revealing yourself to us. God, what was forfeited in the garden, you have come to seek and to rescue and to redeem, and that ultimately climaxed in the arrival of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so this evening we pray that by your Spirit, you would speak to us, and God, you would prepare our hearts to draw close to you and to worship and experience you like never before in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? That is a popular question I'm sure we've all heard from our friends and our coworkers throughout the month, especially this week when we're right on the cusp of Christmas Day. And now when we're asked this question, we all know what the person is inquiring about, right? They're wondering, do you have all your plans hammered out? Are you going over to someone's house? Are people coming over to your house? Do you have the meal planned? Are all the decorations out? Did you get all your Christmas cards sent out? And most importantly, did you get all your gifts for everyone, and are they wrapped and under the tree? That is typically what is meant by the question, are you ready for Christmas? Now, ironically, none of these things concern themselves with what Christmas is primarily about, the birth of Jesus Christ. God's plan to save men from their sin and draw close to them and be with man like he never has before. Now, there's nothing wrong with inquiring about someone's formal plans for Christmas. I know we've all asked that question, and we've been asked that question. Are you ready for Christmas? And we ask it in a formal way. But tonight I want to ask you that question in the truest sense possible. Not are you ready for your plans to fall into place tomorrow, or do you have all the gifts wrapped and ready? That's not what I'm asking. What I want to know is, are you ready for Christmas in the fullest sense biblically? Are you ready for God to step into your life? Are you ready for God to save you from sin? And are you ready for God to reveal himself and draw closer to you than he ever has before? Are you ready for Christmas? You see, when the question is asked that way, in the truest sense possible, it takes on a whole new meaning, right? Are we ready for God to drastically step into our lives? Are we ready for God to rescue us this evening? Are we ready for God to draw near and reveal Himself? Are we ready for that? Now let me ask you this. Is that something that you want? Is that something that you truly want tonight? Do you want more of Jesus in your life? Do you want more of God in your life? And do you want God to rescue you from the sin that you're struggling with this evening? Do you want His help? Do you want God's presence to be closer to you than He ever has done before? Do you want that? Because that should be the longing inside the heart of all those who believe. And the answer that most Christians will give is yes. You know, I want that. That is the pat Christian answer to that question. Do you want more of God? We say yes. But let's step back a little bit and ask ourselves, really, is that what I want? Do I want God to step into my life and draw Himself close to me? Thankfully, that is what Christmas is all about. It's all about God pursuing man. It's all about God making Himself available to those who want to be close with Him. God coming to be with us and God coming to rescue us from sin. But I want to warn you that this Christmas gift might not come wrapped in the neat and tidy, pretty little package that you and I would want. Now, the reality is the birth of Jesus Christ, God coming to be with man, God revealing Himself to man like never before, disrupted the quaint, neat, and tidy lives of those who were involved with the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's look at our passage there in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." You see, here's this young, beautiful, and godly, engaged couple, Mary and Joseph. And they were happily betrothed to one another. You know, that's just the ancient word for being engaged. It was a little more formal, a little more serious than the engagements that we have today, but they were in the process of heading towards the wedding altar. And they were happily engaged. This young couple loved God, and they had their hope set on glorifying Him all the days of their life. The fact of the matter is, in the Roman world, promiscuity was rampant. It was still a problem then, like it is today, but this young couple, who obviously loved God from a young age, kept their relationship pure, because the text says that Mary was found to be with child before they came together. These two were committed to loving God and honoring Him even in their engagement, when their relationship was emotionally charged. Their love for God kept their desires in check. They were seeking to please Him in every area of their life. This young couple sought the Lord together. They went to synagogue together. They grew up hearing all about the messianic promises. They grew up hearing about the day that God would send a deliverer like Moses, a prophet like Elijah, and how He would set His people free. And they loved the Scriptures. They loved God. Everything in the gospel narratives of Matthew and Luke tell us that Mary and Joseph authentically loved God, which means they desired to know God in truth. And they would have been anticipating the day that the Messiah would have showed up. They were looking forward to that day. They were getting ready for Christmas for real. Even before the day began, their eyes were set upon the arrival of the Messiah. The day that God would send a Savior to rescue Israel and to reveal the Lord like never before. You know, even the Samaritan woman whom Jesus met by Jacob's well knew that the Messiah was coming. And she knew that when the Messiah arrived, he would reveal all things. He would reveal God like never before. I want you to note her words from the Gospel of John chapter 4 and verses 25 and 26. The woman said to him, to Jesus, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus was here to reveal the Father. He was here to reveal God like never before and to come close to mankind. Mary and Joseph longed for that day, and they longed to know God and to glorify him as a couple. And God desired to reveal himself to them specifically and to the world at large. God wanted to reveal himself. God had a plan to draw near and to reveal himself through the incarnation. God had a plan to rescue men from their sin through the substitutionary atonement of Christ's death on the cross. And God had a plan to draw near to Mary and Joseph in a special way. But I want us to look at how God packaged his Christmas gift. God's gift to rescue men from their sin and to draw near to us came through the incarnate Son of God. It came through the birth of the Savior, and through all the blessings that God desired to bring about in his life. God's gift came packaged in such a way that it would unravel all of Mary and Joseph's quaint little hopes and dreams. But they would gain so much more because they would have more of the Lord. You see, whatever images they had of a godly family growing up in the Galilean countryside would soon be crushed because God was coming to be with them. And that sounds crazy, right? But that is a massive upgrade. That's a massive trade up. They might lose out on what their hopes and dreams were, but they were gaining more of the Lord. And that is always a trade-up. God was coming to be with them through his Son, through the birth of his Son, and Mary would become pregnant while she was a virgin because that was God's plan. And she wanted to embrace everything that God had in store for her. But that would come at a cost. It would come at a significant cost in her life. It would introduce turmoil and hardship into her once picture-perfect betrothal to Joseph. And it would forever place a stigma upon her life because she would be viewed as having a child of fornication. Even the Pharisees in John chapter 8 made fun of Jesus because they said, "We know who our parents are, we know who our father is, but for your father, no one knows who he is because you were born out of fornication." It forever placed a stigma on her life. But she welcomed all of it because she was getting ready for Christmas in the truest sense. In Luke, we read of Mary's warm welcome of God's Christmas gift in Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, if you go ahead and turn there, we'll read through verses 26 through 38 together. And in verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Wow. Mary had longed for the day that the Messiah would show up. And now it has come, and God has chosen her to do it. She loved God with all her heart, and she wanted to know him all the more. And I'm sure she was thinking, "God, this is crazy. This is out of control that you would choose me to give birth to your son. But Lord, if that's what you want, then I'll do it because I want more of you." So what does she do? Does she run and tell her husband everything immediately? I don't think that she does that. I think that she does tell him something. She tells him something like, "God is... He's going to do something amazing in my life. I just know it. And I need to go down and check on my relative Elizabeth, because an angel revealed to me that my old relative is pregnant miraculously. And I need to get down there and check in on her and see what's going on." Because the very next verse says that she headed out immediately. I don't think she told Joseph about the promise made to her to give birth to his son. I think what she wanted to do, she knew it was true, but she was going to do exactly what the angel said. "Hey, your relative Elizabeth, she's pregnant. You can check it out." So she's going to go down and she's going to go check it out. She's going to have more assurance of what the Lord is going to do. And number two, the Gospel of Matthew says simply that she was found to be pregnant. She was found to be pregnant. Verse 39 of Luke, it says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah." So she leaves the north, heads to the south, and she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now skip down to verse 56. "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." Now this is where the Gospel of Matthew picks up. This is where our text picks up this evening, with Mary 3 months pregnant, with Mary showing already a little bit. And now in verse 18 of Matthew, it says she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. When Mary returned from Judah, not only did she get further assurance with what Gabriel had told her, but she returned 3 months pregnant in full view for everyone to see. And now what was once an ecstatic highlight and joy because she was sharing that experience with Elizabeth, and they knew that God was up to something special because God had performed a miracle in their life, now all of a sudden it becomes a stigma and it becomes a shame in the community, and it brings turmoil into her betrothal. Because everyone, including Joseph, now finds her with child. So look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The news of Mary's pregnancy brought about pronounced heartache into their relationship. Joseph believes that Mary has cheated on him. I mean, what would you think? What would you think if that were to happen? Of course he's thinking, well, she's just, what do you mean a miracle's happened and now you're just pregnant? There's no way. She's just trying to cover her tracks. He's torn to pieces, and now Mary's torn to pieces too, and Joseph knows that Mary loves the Lord. But I'm sure her telling Joseph about the angel Gabriel just hurt him all the more, because it seemed to him that she wasn't even willing to deal with the fact. She wasn't even willing to come clean with it. She was just making up a story. And Joseph was crushed. He thought she was the one. Their lives were going to be so wonderful together. They were going to seek and serve the Lord together, right there in their quaint little country village. But now, there's no way this is going to happen, especially because Mary can't even be honest about the situation that she's in. And so Joseph was brought to this conclusion. Lord, I love you, and I love her, so I'm just going to divorce her quietly. Just divorce her quietly. I love that the scripture states Joseph's motive, not wanting to make her a public example. He didn't want to make her a public example. Why? Because he was a just man. Being a just man, he didn't want to do that. Joseph was a man who had experienced the forgiveness of God. He was a just man, someone who has been justified before the Lord. And the only way that happens is if you have placed your faith in God's provision for your sins. Joseph was clearly a man after God's own heart. He was clearly someone who placed his hope and trust in the promises of God. He was not a self-righteous man at all, but a man who walked in the forgiveness he had received, a man who walked in the mercies of God, and he was willing to extend those mercies even to those around him, even to those who had hurt him. And here's the point. Joseph was the type of man who wanted to know God and experience him in his life. He's the type of man that wanted to walk with the Lord. He was the type of man who wanted to see sin's grip on his life removed. And God was answering the cry of his heart through Mary's miraculous pregnancy, but it just wasn't the package. It just wasn't packaged the way he anticipated. God was answering his prayer. God was revealing himself to Joseph, but it wasn't coming to him the way he anticipated. All of this mess was necessary in order for Jesus to come into the world. Jesus needed to be born of a virgin because our Savior needed to come in the likeness of Adam, to do away with what man had introduced into the world, and that is sin. Jesus needed to become a man in order that he might die for men. And he needed to be born of a virgin because the Spirit of God was going to overshadow Mary and bring about the conception of the Son of God. And God was zealous for his glory, and he was zealous for his glory to be done according to his word, which was prophesied about back in Isaiah. Because our Savior was and is also fully God, and at the same time fully man, 100% man and 100% God, he was able to identify with our weaknesses as a man. And he was able to live out, as a man, all the righteous requirements of the law. All the things that you and I can't do, that the law demands of us, Jesus did it for us. And as God, he was able to overcome every single temptation. He was tempted in all ways like us, and yet he was without sin. He even resisted to the point of shedding blood. As God, he is able to impart to our lives an infinite amount of righteousness and cover an infinite amount of sin. Have you ever thought about that? Just logically speaking, God, who is infinite in his person, we think, how can one man die for all the sins of the world? I think it would just be one man can only die for one man. But if it's the God-man, who is infinite in righteousness, infinite in holiness, he can die for all men. And his righteousness, which is infinite, can extend to every man who would be open and call upon him by faith. Joseph was about to graciously leave his fiancée Mary quietly. But God wanted to uniquely reach out to Joseph, and God sends his angel to him, and he tells him, everything that Mary told you is true. It's all true. And God encourages Joseph to take Mary as his bride and embrace all that God had in store for them. Look at verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I cannot imagine the turmoil that Joseph was in. I cannot imagine the turmoil that I'm sure that Mary was in at this moment too. But God helped Joseph to see the truth about what he was doing in the birth of his son, and he encouraged him not to be afraid, but to embrace the difficulty as well as the joy that would come through the birth of his son. God commanded Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's all true. She's going to give birth to the Savior. God was going to show up on their doorstep in the flesh, and Joseph and Mary would have God draw near to them like never before. But it was going to take courage to receive everything that God had in store for them, right? Everyone was going to look at this godly young couple in the synagogue differently. They would suffer reproach for walking with God. They would incur shame in order that the Savior might be born. And they would be ridiculed so that Emmanuel might come. Joseph and Mary were partakers of the first fruits of the Messiah's arrival. Jesus was coming that he might be with all of us. He was coming that he might identify with our sin problem. He was coming that he might live under the law for us and save us from the penalty and from the power and from the presence of sin altogether. He was coming to do exactly what the Scripture had declared that he would do, save us from sin and be with us in order that we might one day be with him. God has cleared every obstacle out of the way so that we might be with him. He cleared it all out of the way. Question, do you want that? Do you want that in your life? Not just to be saved from your sin judicially, not just from the penalty of our sin, as important, as wonderful as that is, but do you want to be rescued from the power of sin in your life? Do you want its grip upon you to become less and less throughout your time here upon this earth? And do you want one day to stand with God free from the presence of sin altogether? Jesus came into the world for that very purpose. God saving us from our sin and being with us are intrinsically packaged together. They're intrinsically linked. Being saved from sin and God being with us are two things that come together. Because the release from sin's power and the removal from sin's presence all together in our life are all tied up in our willingness to embrace Emmanuel. They're all tied up in that. If I want to be freed judicially from the penalty of my sin, that is tied to me embracing Emmanuel, God with us. If I want to be rescued from the power of sin in my life, that is tied together with me embracing more of Jesus in my life. And when I am freed from the presence of sin altogether in my life, it is intrinsically linked to me being face to face with my Savior for all eternity. Being saved from sin and God being with us are linked together. God was helping them both get ready for Christmas in the truest sense, and that is exactly what Mary and Joseph did. They embraced God's salvation. They embraced Jesus, and God drew near to them like never before. God was with them. And look at how Joseph got ready for the birth of our Savior. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Listen, embracing Jesus fully radically altered the direction of Mary and Joseph's life. Joseph rose up and did as he was commanded. He married his pregnant wife. He walked uprightly with the Lord, even though it brought about a great stigma upon their life, and God came near. Joseph got ready by believing the word of the Lord through the angel. He got ready by believing, by coming to God's word and trusting what it said. And how do we know that he believed? We know he believed because he began to walk in obedience even when it appeared to be foolish to the world. Joseph surrendered himself to the word of the Lord, and he married his pregnant wife. Even when everyone else thought it was a shotgun wedding, and people would poke fun of him behind their back because his bride was pregnant, he was willing to become a fool for Jesus. Joseph continued to walk uprightly before the Lord, bringing his passions under the control of the Spirit of God. He married his wife, but he didn't consummate the wedding until after Jesus was born. This young man's desire to know God and to embrace all that God had in store for him exceeded his own passions in life. And when you're willing to seek God like that, it's only a matter of time until God is going to draw near. God gives grace to the humble, and his desire is to draw near. Christmas is all about Jesus coming into the world. It's all about God being with us, encountering the Lord like never before in our life. It's all about Jesus coming to save sinners and drawing them close unto himself. So how does one get ready for Christmas? I think the answer is found in the book of James, chapter 4, in verses 6 through 8. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. When you want to hold on to your way of life, your way of doing things, your quaint little dreams, when God wants to come and step into your life, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to the one who says, Lord, it's not about my way, It's not really about my hopes. It's not really about my dreams. I want to know you. I want to understand who you are. God gives grace to the humble, to the person who says, God, your way is superior to my way. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's how we get ready for Christmas. I think the net result of Joseph's life, giving up what he thought would be best in order that he might receive God's very best, is the net result. God's very best was more of himself disclosed in the person of Jesus Christ. Joseph ended up leaving Nazareth. Think about this. They get married, they're in Nazareth, and you guys know how the story unfolds. All of a sudden a decree is given, and now you got to take your very pregnant wife all the way down to Bethlehem. Now when you're down in Bethlehem, guess what? There's no room for you at the inn. Jesus is there in a manger. Shepherds come. Wise men come from the east and visit him. Then all of a sudden he's warned. Maybe it's time to go back to Nazareth. No, they're warned in a dream. King Herod is out to kill this child. You need to go to Egypt. They flee to Egypt. You got to understand, their quaint little life was massively disrupted. But you know what they got in the process as they were willing to embrace what God had in store for them? As they were willing to embrace the disruptions? As they were willing to embrace the packaged gift that was not so neat and tidy in their life? They got more of Jesus. More of Jesus, and God drew near to them like never before. Mary and Joseph both loved God. And ever since the very first Christmas, God has made it clear that he desires to draw near to his people and reveal himself to them like never before. And I don't know what it is at your doorstep this Christmas. I hope that whatever way God is bringing into your life, whatever situation it is that God is wanting to reveal himself in to you, that you would be willing to embrace it. Even if the package is not neat, even if the package is not tidy, even if the package disrupts what your hopes and dreams are, let us humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, it's not about my way. It's not about my hopes and dreams. It's about being close to you. It's about being freed from sin and serving you. So let's humble ourselves together and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts that we might embrace him and walk with him by faith, even to the point that we would even be foolish for Christ's sake. I would rather be a fool and gain Christ than appear to be wise to men and lose out on God's very best, which is more of himself. That is how we can get ready for Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. And we do want to be ready for Christmas. And the only way that we can do that is through humility, Lord. Relinquishing what we think are our rights, what we think is our best, and embracing your very best. Lord, we do want to be freed from sin in our life. And that is intrinsically connected to the person and work of your Son. It's intrinsically connected to you coming to be with us. And so, Lord, we want to turn away from sin and turn towards you. And Lord, as we do, we pray that you would free us from sin's grip on our life. And help us to walk with you and help us to know you and to experience you like never before in our life this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.